So you've held the meetings and you've done the studies and you've come to the decision you need a new building. So now what do you do? Ken Sawyer recently retired as the president of the Pittsburgh Penguins. His final duty was to oversee the opening of the brand new Console Energy Center. My first question to Ken, where did you start?
I guess the first question is to get a sense of what is it you want to build. And that is, you know, how big a building, what are the amenities you want. Then you need someone to give you a real rough order of magnitude as to what that might cost. And then your next step is, well, how do I finance that?
We go back to Jim Ledlow, the president and CEO for the MTS Center in Winnipeg. He says it took a while for them to get started on their project.
The starting point for this was, probably 20-some-odd years ago or 25 years ago when it finally became clear to the community that there was the need for a replacement to the aging old Winnipeg Arena, which was the home of the Winnipeg Jets for many years, as you know, and then the home of the Manitoba Moose to follow that. It became clear here that a building, you know, was older than the Saddle Dome in Calgary, but that it just was not functional for a community like Winnipeg or for any kind of sort of future that this city might have in sports and entertainment, just in terms of its functionality. And even during the days of the Jets, you know, people will recall, and even in the sort of early days of the Moose, there were a whole series of studies that were done about the replacement of the Winnipeg Arena, from, you know, renovating it and expanding it to building a new rink, et cetera. And those discussions were very powerful discussions, and they came and went over a lengthy period of time, you know, a decade or more of different studies. And, you know, finally, at the end of the day, I would say good fortune in thinking at three levels of government. I think people stumbled, maybe not stumbled upon it, but we came to the conclusion here that, you know, a form of public-private partnership might be the solution to driving this thing forward. So with the right private partner and willing public partners, I think we created a model where both the public and private sector could rely on each other, but the public sector knew that the driving force would be the private sector in terms of, you know, building, owning, managing, constructing, dealing with cost overruns and operating issues would be a private sector issue. But if the public sector were to share in this model in some of the capital cost of construction, for example, that the public sector, the community, would end up with a new and necessary facility in Winnipeg. So a whole bunch of things came together, and then timing was right at the turn of the, you know, in 2000, 2001, 2002. The appetite was appropriate, both publicly and privately, and that's kind of how it started.
Surveying other buildings to get ideas is a very common practice when you start down the path in building a project. Here's the Penguins president, Ken Sawyer.
We spent a few months looking at other arenas, visiting just about all of them. And then we kind of zeroed in on the size that we felt would be right for our market. It didn't really help us to look at our current situation. We had to really anticipate what would the market support down the road. At the same time, we always had an idea on, you know, we knew we had to build also in a certain dollar range. We couldn't be going out there trying to build, a huge, huge place. So all those things worked together. But within a year, we had that all pretty much figured out.
In addition to looking at what others built, teams will also carry out surveys and polls with their season ticket holders to find out what their customers would look for in a new building. For our purposes, I've chosen to use an old friend of mine, Andrew Kulak, from thesportsroadtrip.com. Now, for over a decade, Andrew and his friend Peter started the odyssey to visit each and every major sporting venue in North America. Their website chronicles their adventures as well as acting as a visitor's guide to the best and worst arenas and stadiums and what they have to offer when it comes to fan experiences. I asked Andrew to describe to me the things, as a fan, he finds important in an arena.
Well, I think the importance, first of all, is fan comfort. And obviously that, you know, that concourses and seats are wide and comfortable, and that you're allowed to, you know, and that you have the roominess, that you're not congested in an area. And, of course, the second thing is sight lines and how close you are to the action. And I know a lot of these buildings now are building, you know, very large 100-seat bowls and putting club seats quite high. Some of the examples, egregious examples of very high 300-level seats that are a bit unpleasant is the Staples Center in Los Angeles, where, of course, the Los Angeles Kings play, and the Montreal Forum, the Bell Center. It might be bad there.
Sure.
The Bell Center in Montreal. I mean, it's 21,200 seats. I mean, it's an amazing place to go see a game. But what I tell you, when you get to that 400 level, you are freaking high from the action. And it's the same thing with the press gondola up there. You are just, suspended, I mean, hundreds of feet up in the air. And I don't know if that's such a good thing, quite frankly. You know, because I think the intimacy aspect is lost a little bit. And, you want, even if you're in the cheap seats, you want to kind of feel like you're part of things. So I think that's one of the things that are important. Number two, by now you're looking at, you know, now the food experience has become a more and more an elaborate thing. I mean, back in the 60s, you had what we call ballpark dreck, hot dogs, peanuts, popcorn, beer, and soda pop. But now it's all about panini sandwiches and that special catch of the day and thing that, you know, the sandwich or the food item that's unique or indigenous to that region of the country. And people are looking for choices and sophistication. And these teams are more than becoming more and more sophisticated and rolling out everything from gourmet meals and club restaurants to do that basic $2 hot dog. And that's something that we look at very closely and that I think teams are, again, becoming a much more adept at doing. You know, number one, to serve their fans, and number two, is a profit generator.
Now, we talked about the fact that the modern arena is more than just a home to an NHL team, and according to the Penguins' Ken Sawyer, you do have to keep that in mind during the planning process.
First and foremost, you're focusing on as a hockey arena. And that's, you know, you want it to look and feel like it's your home. You're the major tenant. You're the driver of the economics of the facility. You want your season ticket holder, your repeat customer, to be feel good and be entertained when they're there. But aside from that, you are always conscious that these buildings, unlike football stadiums or baseball parks, truly are multi-purpose. So you're keeping an eye on how it'll work, what's the capacity you can create for an end stage concert. How can you scale the building down so it has an intimate feel if there's only 3,500 in there? And of course, other amenities, how can you put a very elaborate rigging that is required now for these major concerts in your structure so that this building is used by everybody?
Now, having said all of that, your hockey team is your main tenant, and their needs are a priority. Here's Pittsburgh President Ken Sawyer.
Well, it's all part of what they call the program. At the beginning, when you sit down, you spend a few months coming up with what's called a program. This is basically what is it you want in the building and how do you want it to function. In terms of the hockey operations, you know, we want to be first in class in the National Hockey League, and that means we want to have the best facilities for our players, for their training, for their workout areas, for their locker rooms. We want our players to feel that they're really in a quality facility. Naturally, we're very concerned about the quality of the ice as well. For our staff, non-hockey staff, we're moving all of our front office operations into the arena. They weren't in the old building, and this is a major plus. And then the location of that relative to the hockey operations was important to us, too.
And the Lord knows you cannot forget the media, can you? Ken talks about satisfying the need for broadcasters.
Broadcast facilities, very important to us were the location of cameras. Because while it's the fan experience in the arena, we also want the fan experience at home to be first class, and that means having as many different camera positions low enough down so we can really bring the excitement of the arena back to the fan in their living room. And in some of the older arenas, that's difficult. That has been difficult to do, and so here's the chance to correct that. We copied a lot of elements of other arenas. You know, Minnesota, for example, you can stand on the concourse, have your beer and hot dog, and look back at the game without having to go actually out into the bowl, because all the concessions are on the back wall. leaving you an open view, and we thought that was terrific, and naturally we copied it.
So as you get closer to nailing down your plans, time to bring in the design firms to put those into action. We'll introduce you to one of the best in North America next.